Hey Potters, welcome to episode 261 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay. Happy end of summer, everybody!
Massive air quotes around that, because it's still hot as all can be here. We're having a cold front. Again, air quotes
it
around
that.
It
is cold. It went from 103 cold. And it's supposed to be 78 on Monday. I will take it.
Maybe. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm still now, not going to... I'm keeping my fingers crossed because this is weird weather for us.
Granted, it's also supposed to pour buckets of rain is what I'm being told.
Yeah.
So even though it is cool outside, I still can't go out and spray paint because humidity means it won't set.
Yeah.
But at least I can open the doors and windows while I'm sewing on things.
I'm actually looking forward to that because my place has it so that way I can open the windows inward.
Right.
And it allows me to do a nice little circulation with the air so I can actually save it on my heating bill.
Right. Well, hopefully we shouldn't need heaters or air conditioning, next week at all.
Fingers crossed again. But given how wacky weather has been lately, I just, whatever. All I can say is I'm not the cause of it. I have not washed my vehicle.
My vehicle needs to be washed.
I need to give mine a nice little update. It's been long enough now that it needs a good wipe down. But I'm not going to do it. I'm going to wait.
I'm taking it through nature's car wash next week.
How much I'll be driving? Yes.
I will be doing quite a bit of driving next week. And hey, gas prices have come down too.
Yeah, yeah. They're actually they're not reasonable, but they're better.
They are. Because usually what I've been doing to keep going with cosplay is that normally I wait to hit Joann's for my replenishing things run whenever I run out of acrylic paint or glue or just little sundries. I wait to go to Joann's until I have other errands to run so that I can swing by on the way back and save gas that way. But that doesn't happen very often. It's less often than I run out of craft supplies. So sometimes I'll pick it up at my local hobby retailer, which usually ends up being Walmart, if it's something that they carry, which unfortunately, I am a little bit elitist about my acrylic paints. Not all brands are created equal when
They're
it comes
not.
To acrylic paints. And the stuff that they sell at some stores is not necessarily up to my standards.
There's a certain brand, I will only use Ceram Coat.
I prefer Ceram Coat very heavily.
I will pay the extra for it, and I will make sure to only get that and nothing else.
But if I only need, say, two bottles, because that's all that I ran out of, it's going to cost me $4. It's not worth the gas it takes me to get there and back to spend $4 at Joann's. So usually I'll end up just
doing it.
Picking up the lesser brand at the store just so I can finish whatever it is I'm trying to finish. Because I know it's going to be another month before I hit Joann's. And I have enough projects sitting around right now that I'm literally staring at that I don't need more stuff on my crafting counter.
That's the problem I'm running into now. Now that I've got everything unpacked... And I have plenty more storage. Hey, but let's make this cosplay update. Now that I have plenty of storage available to buy more fabric, because I really need more fabric, I also need to replenish all of my paints because I just went through and just purged everything because I knew a lot of it had either been old or hadn't used it up in a while. So I'm literally down to just the bare bone basics of white, red, blue, and black. And I'm like, I need to fix this because I also want to paint my pegboard when I get my pegboard too. So... Yeah, we're going to be making a journey soon. Michael's tomorrow for sure. I'm no longer near a Joann's, so Michael's is literally 3 minutes up the road from me. So I'm like, ooh, this will be either really good or really bad. I have not decided yet. I got to figure out where other locations of Joann's are near me so I can make use of all the plethora of coupons that I have just stashed away ready to... exploit to my heart's content.
Let's see, the only cosplay progress that I made is literally sitting on the table out of my reach, which I will not show you because it's a pile of fabric and it's under the sewing needle right now, so if I pull it out then I'm gonna have to sit there and tie off the thread and everything
and all that fun stuff.
I'm in the middle of a stitching line. I had to clean up most of my crafting stuff because my internet terminal died a terrible death. And I had to get the repair person to come out and fix it because I had no internet and it was not something I could fix. So I had to clean everything up. because nobody is ever coming to visit me. I don't have people over. This is why it's not quite as much of a problem that I have my craft stuff lying around everywhere most of the time. Until somebody comes over, and then I have to clean everything up frantically. So between that and my flat tire that I had to get fixed and having a relapse of whatever sickness afflicted my stomach, yeah, it's been a great 2 weeks, folks.
Woo!
The bad luck had to catch up with me at some point, so hopefully that will all be better now. I've had my run of bad luck. Gotta go up from here.
Exactly.
So that I can get some sewing done. I need to finish that vest for fall. Though I would like to mention, with the last of my cosplay update before we get into today's topic, that I did notice that they have started taking down all the school supplies at local retailers, and they are now putting up Halloween stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's my plan tomorrow. Once I get done cleaning, I am going to be going out first thing in the morning right at 8 a.m. and just hitting up all the places to see what Halloween stuff is out there. I know a lot of the craft stores have had them up for at least like a month or two now because, you know, it's just...
Right. That's different, though, because those are for craft fairs.
Yeah, exactly. And I know Spirit Halloween has a couple of locations that have already opened up.
What was funny is that I noticed the first things that were put up were not costumes.
No. It's a lot of decor items.
They were Kigurumis.
Yeah, a lot of Kigus too. A lot of Kigus this year.
Kigus this year are going to be huge.
Actually,
They didn't seem like very well-known characters, though.
No. I know some of them are very basic stuff. I actually have to give like a big like props out to Target because I know a couple of years ago they started releasing a line of costumes that are for wheelchair-bound people. Mm-hmm. That selection has expanded tremendously, and they have a bunch of costumes for adults now, too.
Excellent.
Like some of them are like construction gear and construction equipment, and I was like, how cool would it be to be dressed up as a bulldozer? That's kind of fun. I love that.
I am glad that they have started expanding access to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because nobody thinks about like, you know, well, yeah, I mean, everybody wants to dress up for Halloween and go mm-hmm. trick-or-treating and get candy. Absolutely. That's such a great idea.
Yep. And it's really good that they are being... accommodating to
yes.
those who have physical needs to like literally physically get into a costume.
Mm-hmm. So those look really cool. I just happened to be perusing the website today and I was like, oh, these are so neat. I love these ideas.
But yes, there is lawn decor as well. The usual orange and purple everything.
My house will be spoopy. Already got things coming in. Just wait.
As long as I get all the peanut butter and chocolate candy, I'm good.
You can take all my PB candy. That's fine. Just take it. Take it.
Isn't Halloween on a Monday this year?
It is on a Monday this year, unfortunately.
I don't think I'm even going to dress up.
I still will because I love the holiday so much. I got to be in the spirit of it.
See, I'm going to be at home. And nobody else is going to see it, so it won't really matter. And I don't need to dress up for me. I already know what I look like dressed up.
I'm dressing up for myself and for the few children that are in the neighborhood.
There you go.
There you go.
Well, speaking of dressing up for a cause, why don't we get into today's topic?
Yeah, we're going to talk about World Cosplay Summit stuff like I have been posting all week long. So you're more than welcome to jump in on the conversation chat because we'll our outline for this is kind of a little wackadoodle. It's a little all over the place, but that's okay because, I mean, in general, I had fun watching it. I usually do every
yeah.
year. And there's usually something entertaining and things to learn, things to kind of incorporate, some ideas for next year, and a lot of repeat at the same concepts over and over again. But hey, that's what WCS is all about. I still appreciate what WCS is for and what it's trying to do and trying to accomplish. And there's still so much of this camaraderie behind it, and that's still very nice to see.
Mm-hmm. If you haven't watched it yet, the videos are still, at least as of this recording, up on Twitch. You can also go to their website, which is Japanese. But you can go to the website, and they've also got the videos posted there. And they have it on the website separated out by the stage videos mm-hmm. and the online videos.
Yeah.
They're listed as two separate entries under the countries that competed in both. For those that only competed in the video division, then there's only a single listing under that country.
Yeah, when we say as of this recording, 8/19/2022, mm-hmm. good possibility they're not going to stay up for very much longer because they have a habit of, before they started doing the video portion, it was literally up and gone.
Right. Yeah, the videos may not stay up long, at least on Twitch. You may still be able to find them if they were individually uploaded on YouTube.
Yeah.
But they won't be official.
They will not be official.
All right. So as I mentioned, there were two divisions, just like last year.
Mm-hmm.
There is a stage division, which is there in person in Japan. And then there is a video division, which are all submitted online.
Did they have a stage division last year? I thought it was only video because COVID was still like high.
They had some walk-ons, but it,
well, that's completely,
it may not have been quite
yeah,
the same implementation.
It's their walk-on division is something completely separate from World Cosplay Summit stuff. It's more local content, so I think we just need to make that clarification that it's not a stage presentation.
Right. The video is the same as it was last year.
Yes.
Because last year was the first time they did the video division.
Yes.
Yes. So there was a smaller set of entrants for the stage portion this year.
Right.
Just because there were fewer countries there in person.
Due to COVID.
Right. And then there's a fairly large representation. What you would probably normally associate with World Cosplay Summit.
Yeah.
Did the video division.
Did the video portion of it. Right.
And entrants who do the video division are judged on slightly different criteria.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll have things like video production and sound editing and all of that, special effects use, taken into account when they're judging the video and assigning points.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you can't do that as much for stage because they have a lot more limitations. Being there in person, you can't really do very much in the way of special effects on stage. So
right.
It's the judging is a little bit different.
It is different. I will say that both categories, it is 200 points. For the stage division, it's 100 on the costume and 100 on the presentation. And then for the video portion, it's 50 on the costume and then 150 for the video.
Right. Well, actually, why don't we go ahead and start there with the stage versus video and how we feel about that. In other words, there were some countries that competed in both
mm-hmm.
the stage division and the video division. And this is permitted. This is allowed by the rules. So it's not like they're doing anything, you know, shady or underhanded. There were other countries that only competed in video. And that's probably because they just couldn't be there in person due to COVID protocols.
COVID restrictions, yeah.
So do we think it's okay that countries were allowed to compete with the same content in both?
For me, I was more okay with it, probably more okay with it than you probably are. And I think it's because the prizes that were offered for the stage portion were much smaller. And given that this is still unusual circumstances, this is not something that WCS normally would have done. If they give equal footing to stage and video in the future, which is something I hope that they really do because it would be nice, and then they can allow more teams to compete with each country, that would be great. But I think because things had to be scaled down so dramatically for the stage portion, it didn't really bother me as much this year. If they continue to do it in future years, though, I don't know. That might be rubbing me a little bit the wrong way. But right now, I'm more okay with it.
As you mentioned, I'm not as okay with it. And the reason for that is kind of the same sort of feeling I have about what we call sandbagging here in the States, which is when you take one costume and you bring it to multiple conventions to compete in their cosplay contest with the same costume.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes winning multiple awards for the same costume at multiple cons. And there were two countries that actually competed with different content on the stage and in their video production. And that was the Netherlands and Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I wish everybody did it. Where if you're going to compete in both, that's okay. But you have to do different content. Especially if you won an award for the first content.
Mm-hmm.
I think once you've won an award or once you've won in a division, because a lot of groups won multiple awards in their division. Once you've won in your division, you're done. That's it. Give everybody that chance of winning an award. And I know that sounds like everybody gets a participation trophy, but honestly, like, not everybody has access to the same resources. And I really would like to give everybody that chance of winning an award. So I'm okay with it. I just wish that they had to do different content and they weren't allowed to carry over.
I could see that. And I wonder if there was just odd restrictions because of the last minuteness of, do we know if we're even going to be able to be there on stage or not? Mm-hmm. Again, because COVID, the pandemic has kind of screwed so much of this and thrown things out of whack. I will say it was interesting being able to compare the stage presentation to the video presentation for those countries that did use the same costumes. Because like Australia, what I thought was much more impactful on stage than it was on video. And the same thing with Thailand. Thailand was really great on stage. I did not like their video. Their video, it was actually making my eyes kind of water at times. Not because it was funny, mm-hmm. but it was just very difficult for me to focus with the way that they cut and edited it. So I was like, oh no. But then what's funny was that I did not like France's presentation as much on stage. I thought it was a great presentation. I actually preferred it more in video format. Video, I had more fun with it.
Right. And I actually noted for Switzerland, which did the Love Live,
mm-hmm.
I loved their video version so much more,
because
it added plot.
Yes.
They did a slightly different plot, even though it was the same series and the same kind of overall performance.
Yeah.
But they added a lot.
They added more to it.
That helped. I think it was much better than the stage version.
I agree with
that. But I agree with you. There were a few teams where the stage version, even if it wasn't better, the video version just didn't really add much to it, even though you had that opportunity to do so with things like special effects and sound editing. Not everybody took advantage of that.
Or they used it, but it didn't emphasize the content. Instead, it kind of pulled some of the content away. And it just, like, sometimes there were some filters or desaturation going on that I was just like, oh no, you're missing the prettiness of your costume. You have so many great details on there. Oh no, don't do that, please.
And that was actually one of the things I wrote down for the video production portion is that, sorry, I'm reading from pages of notes.
We both have notes.
Yes. Is that some of the teams had things in their video production that just knocked you out of the realism of the video.
Absolutely.
Maybe a poor use of green screen, or like in the Sailor Moon one, and they used it as a joke.
But it was a joke.
The dog running across, and it's like, gone. It's not even really a video anymore. It looks like the recording of the video.
Mm-hmm.
Or it may have had like a bad sound effect, or maybe it was bad lip syncing. Quite a few of the teams weren't quite in sync with the voiceovers and what they were actually like mouthing on the vid. And it's not their fault. You know, it's not something that is easy to fix, because dubbing is actually very difficult.
Very, very difficult. And for a lot of these teams, like, it's their first time making a video of anything.
Right.
And I don't think people realize just how much time and energy and work goes into video production. Even for this podcast, mm-hmm. I've said this multiple times, it still requires hours and hours of work. And we've been doing this for 10 years. Mm-hmm. But it takes hours of work for me to edit this and to export it and to get it uploaded.
Mm-hmm. But even some things like going overboard with special effects.
Sometimes that's like just way too much.
Sometimes you can have too little of something.
Yes.
And sometimes you can have too much of something, and it just knocks you out. And it's just like, huh? And then you lose that immersion.
Yeah, absolutely.
But some of the videos used really creative techniques. Like, they used technology in novel ways, like making themselves look like they were a part of a video game.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always have to be like flashy special effects, like weapon attacks and energy blasts and things like that. Sometimes it's just really creative camera work with perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of teams that did that really well to make it look like they were actually in the game and you were the player, that they won awards and deserved it, I think. So I was really happy to see it's not just about the flashy, flashy LEDs and smoke machines anymore. It's all about how can you best tell the story
exactly.
using what you have at your disposal.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that I really do hope the WCS continues to still utilize the video medium. And maybe this will probably be better for the wrap-up portion, but guess what? I'm talking about it now. I really want there to be two segments. I want a stage segment and a video segment, so that way we get two sets of teams for each country competing. So we can really expand upon the creativity that video allows us. But it also gives an opportunity for so many cosplayers who maybe don't have the physical capabilities to go overseas and to do all that stuff. Because it's expensive. Even though, you know, the countries do pony up some of the money, you still have to spend so much of your own personal money and your time and your energy making all of these costumes. And it's just not feasible for some people. And there are some amazing cosplayers out there that would be fabulous for WCS, but they just cannot do it. And right. video gives them that opportunity to shine. And it would be great yes. if we had that accessibility.
And speaking of accessibility, one of the other things that I noted this year that I haven't seen in previous years is the use of professionals.
Yes, there was a lot more of that this year. There was last year too, but I don't think it was as in your face because I think everybody was still trying to test the waters and figure out what they could and couldn't do. Mm-hmm.
And this is covering things like special effects mm-hmm. because there's a very large difference between an amateur doing special effects and a professional doing special effects. And likewise, there was at least one team, and I think there was more than one, that had professional voiceover acting done.
Oh, absolutely. Or at least if not like on the professional level, like, oh, they actually like work in the anime industry, at least they have right. experience that they knew what they were right. doing.
Right. And not everybody has access to those kind of resources. And so for those that do, it can really enhance your video.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But for those that don't, it's like they're kind of at a disadvantage mm-hmm. because of the impact that it can make in just taking your vid to the next level. It doesn't make or break a video, but if you're trying to judge between two entries that are pretty much equal in all other ways, sound production can really elevate a video if it's done well.
Exactly.
And speaking of that and editing things, the last thing that I wanted to mention that was a general sort of thing is the use of vignettes.
Mm.
Because there were many, many teams in the video division that would film in short spurts, in short scenes, and then break, scene, break,
break.
Scene, break. And sometimes that's better if you're trying to tell a story that has several parts that you're trying to bring together. But sometimes it may actually be worse than just filming in one clean line because the breaks are either jarring or they're so often
yeah.
that it becomes almost a strobe effect in the film, and you kind of lose that story because the whole point of the video division and the stage division is for your performance to tell the story of whatever video game anime that you're representing. You have to tell a story of some sort.
In 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Exactly. And not everybody was as successful at that because it was just a little too broken up.
Yeah.
And some teams actually used the breaking up, the vignettes, to do amazing storytelling because they would tell it in just short scenes. And the winner, actually, Sweden, did just that. They actually filmed a series of vignettes that told a story in parts.
And that's one of the few times where a narrator benefited it. Because usually I'm the type of person who's like, I don't like a whole lot of talk in cosplay skits because it tends to get too involved and deep into the lore of the game, the anime, the manga, that you alienate the vast majority of people that have never watched, seen, or played the thing. And it becomes kind of like, okay, I'm done with this. But that was one of the only times where I was like, the narrator helped emphasize the story because it was a very simple story. It's telling, you know, the prince is saying goodbye to his friend through a note. And the images that you see on the screen were all their times together during their bro road trip. Very simple, very straightforward. But it was executed lovingly well. It was great. Great job. Mm-hmm. And I hate that video game.
Not every video and not every stage performance had dialogue at all. Some of them had zero dialogue.
Yeah.
The whole thing was music. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. In fact, some of the ones that had just music were more impactful than some of the ones that had dialogue. But I like to associate the no dialogue performances with hard mode. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is you don't have dialogue to tell your story. So you have to really overact and overemphasize everything. Your movements, your physicality, your emotions on your face. Everything has to be like twice as big as the ones that have dialogue, because you have the dialogue to help you out. And it can be really hard to do. It can be really tough, especially if you don't do like theater for a living.
As Alpaca Ash told us one year, you have to act like a Muppet.
Pretty much.
You have to be as big and gregarious with your actions as possible, even on video format, so you can convey to people what you are trying to emote.
And it's doubly true for those who are on stage, because not everybody can see your emotions up close, because, you know, you're a good distance from the stage. Mm-hmm. If you're there in person watching in the audience, the camera that's on the stage is even further back than those people are sitting. So we at home who are watching it being streamed on, you know, whatever service, are even further back and usually can't even see your face at all.
But we can see your movements.
And that was one of the things I wrote down. Oh, who was the group that did Fate? Philippines.
The Philippines.
The Saber and Lancelot Berserker. Mm-hmm. I wanted to give huge shout out props to the person who played Lancelot, because the physicality, the acting of them just with movements was amazing.
They did good on that.
Exactly what kind of character they were.
Yeah.
Even without the dialogue, which they had dialogue, but just you could tell, and it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
I jotted it down like physicality, exclamation point. It was so good. I know that there was like one other character actor that I called out that was just really on point. Oh, it was China, the adult Emiya.
Mm.
Also really good physicality, just really good acting and just body expression. It was so good. Although anybody who has experience in that sort of thing, of course, has an advantage.
I mean, it's difficult to put everybody on an even playing field. You can try as best as you can. Everybody has different skills and things that they've learned over time. It's so hard.
Right. All right. So if you don't already know who won the prizes, we don't need to go through the list here. You can go online to find out who won all of the different prizes. There's first, second, and third place. And then there's a series of special awards for things like best wig work, best sewn costume, best modeled prop, best dramatic presentation, best action scene, that sort of thing. So I wanted to ask, generally, do you agree with the awards that were handed out for both divisions?
I think so. Overall, I think the way that they chose everybody, I think they made a lot of sense. And it was a good balance between the video work as well as the construction of the costumes too. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that to me was very important, because I was like, oh man, I was so concerned that some of the video entries that had more emphasis on the editing, the sound design, the special effects, and not so much on the costumes probably might place a little bit higher. But it seems like the ones that they picked also had really strong costumes. So I was like, okay, that was nice to see that they still really put emphasis on, yes, quality construction does matter still. Please let that still matter.
Right. All of the ones that I put asterisks by, except one, won awards.
Mm.
So at least I know that most of my choices for the ones that were top tier, I didn't rank all of these.
Right.
I didn't put like 1, 2, 3 and like actually try and rank them myself. I just marked the ones that I thought like really stood out that would have been like a tier above the other ones. And all but one won an award. I wanted to give a special call out to Mexico.
Yeah. Mexico did good.
Yeah. And basically, like, just all of the different aspects of their video, because they did video only, came together beautifully. The costumes.
The acting, the wigs. The wigs were so good. Oh my God.
They even did some puppetry.
It was Inuyasha, by the way. They were. It was Inuyasha.
Yeah, we should mention that. They did some puppetry. They also did some excellent makeup work.
Yeah, great makeup work.
They did use special effects, but they were used sparingly.
Yeah, there was an overkill, and I appreciate the fact that they didn't do shaky cam. They didn't do too many Dutch angles, and I was like, thank you.
They also didn't constantly change perspectives or break
between
scenes. The scenes were long enough that you could kind of follow it instead of being like strobe effect. And none of it was ever so active that anybody that has, say, vertigo problems or light activated seizures, that isn't a problem with their vid. Everything is very measured. And it tells a story, which
tells
is
a great story.
Part.
It's very clear.
Yes. And that's one of the biggest things I think about the teams that won prizes generally, is that they told the clearest stories.
Yes, their stories were very easy to follow. You didn't have to, you know, question or second guess what the heck was happening before your eyes. You knew exactly beginning, rising action, climax, falling action, end, done in 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
And obviously it doesn't have to tell the entire story of the anime or the entire
story. It just needs to be a segment of it.
Just one scene.
Yeah.
Just one scene.
And didn't even have to be like within, I think that's the funny part, is I think people are like, oh, you know, it has to be exactly like what's going on in the game. It really doesn't. It just has to be a story, and it just happens to involve these characters.
Right. Because I know the Super Smash Ultimate team, there is no story
in
that video game.
No.
You literally have champions that are beating
each other up.
That's it. But they brought a story to it. And that's perfectly okay, as long as it's very clear what they're trying to express to you. And for a lot of these, because one of the requirements to compete at WCS is that it has to be a Japanese title. It can't be a port of a Japanese title. It has to be an original Japanese title, which means that there may be games and anime here that we just aren't familiar with. We don't know the story of it. So you have to tell us that story without us having the background of whatever intellectual property you're happening to choose for your entry. So if they have something like two teams chose Fatal Frame, it's horror as a genre. I didn't even know if it was a video game, an anime. I didn't know what in the world this was. The only way I knew was because of the atmosphere that the video set. So I could tell you immediately, this is horror. And that's exactly what you want to do. You want to be able to tell that story to somebody that has no clue what it is whatsoever.
Fatal Frame is very old school too. So I was surprised that they went that far back. I was like, whoa.
Right. Something I noticed with the choices of property, actually, since we're talking about it. Some years, there's usually like two or three series and everybody does them. Different like series from that particular property. Like, I know Zelda has a bunch of different video games. Mario has a bunch of different video games. The Fate series has a bunch of different series, but it's still all Fate. It's still all Zelda. It's still all Mario. Some years are like that, where everybody just picks the same series.
There was a lot of Monster Hunter this year.
There was, and I think that was the only one.
It wasn't as heavy-handed. It was surprising that two teams picked Fatal Frame. Like, that was a shock. And it, like, the fact that a team picked Fatal Frame was like, whoa, two teams? Whoa! But then, yeah, it was like, a lot of Monster Hunter. A lot of Monster Hunter. That's a lot of Monster Hunter. Okay, that's fine. And Monster Hunter is pretty cool anyway, so I was just seeing all the armor and costumes in action. It was interesting enough, but it was just like, oh, I guess that's the theme this year, Monster Hunter.
I actually only marked two teams as doing Monster Hunter.
There were more than that. I think there were at least
three. There were three.
Yeah.
Because one did the Kirin armor, one did Monster Hunter World, and then there was a third, and it's buried in my notes somewhere.
Plus the judges.
Other, the only other repeated series that I saw was Fate.
Yeah.
And there were only two groups that did that.
Only did two groups of that. Usually it's a little bit more clustered than that, but they did a nice even spread this time, mm-hmm. So that was nice.
Actually, there were two Zelda, now that I think about it, because there was Majora's Mask, and then the Australian group.
But there were two
groups that Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, which
were very different presentations.
Completely different. And that's the nice thing about the Zelda too, is that they were very different presentations, different characters. Yes. It was like, okay, cool.
Right. But all in all, it seems like there was a good variety this year.
Absolutely. It was nice. Overall.
And that makes me very happy because you want to introduce people to new games, to new anime, to take things in a new creative direction instead of just doing the same thing everybody else is doing. Because the whole thing that you need to do to win is to stand out from everybody else because there's so many competitors.
And it can be difficult when everybody, I mean, even if you've never played a Zelda game, you kind of know what's going on. You never played a Mario game, you kind of know what's going on. So trying to make yourself unique in that landscape is really challenging.
So if you had to pick one standout moment that really just, either for good or for bad, that just made you go, wow, what would it have been?
Oh, man. That's hard. I don't know if there was a standout moment. I will say the Thailand presentation for their stage was the most interesting to me because I don't usually gravitate towards those kinds of skits where they really break the fourth wall and then some. But it had very good pacing and dialogue and humor to it that I could follow it. And I genuinely enjoyed it immensely, that I was very surprised that I enjoyed it. And it was great costumes too, really amazing costumes.
Yes. They did a really good job, just generally on both their stage and their video performance. I think my standout moment was in France's stage presentation, and you and I were talking about this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
They did Sailor Moon as a theme. And they had one of their two team members, I think they went through four quick changes to play five Sailor Scouts. Actually, no, three quick changes to go to four Scouts. And I still don't know after watching it multiple times how they did it, because there were only about 5 seconds in between the time period where they had a curtain on a rod that's almost like a Wings of Isis kind of thing. So you'd raise it up for about 5 seconds while they were doing the change, and then you'd bring it down and you'd see they were in a new costume as a new scout. In the video, you can always film those scenes separately.
Separately, which I'm sure is exactly what they did.
Exactly. You can't do that on stage. But the changes were immaculate, and I was stunned. And I still can't figure out how they did it. It was so good. And it made sense in the whole scheme of their video. It wasn't gratuitous, like, look at me.
Look at how many changes I can do just because I can do them.
Look how many costumes I made.
Right.
No, it actually made sense.
It made sense.
In the scheme of their video. Yeah. I am very happy for the winners.
I am still they did an amazing job. Because again, I don't like that video game. I love Final Fantasy. I hate that particular one. It's the only Final Fantasy I have yet to complete because I just cannot do it. But they made me actually be emotional and genuinely appreciate how much love and effort they put into that video and into their costumes. So I was like, good job. You got me.
When I watched that, it was almost like a mini movie trailer.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what they needed. They had the whole packet right there. It was great.
Yep. Everything, including music.
Mm-hmm.
Because music plays a huge role in how your video comes across. It can actually make or break a video. I had questions about some of the music choices from some of the groups.
Yeah, some of them were a little...
But for the most part... For the most part, the music choices went well. with the theme that each team chose.
I could tell some of them definitely went to the YouTube music library so they wouldn't have to worry about copyright. I was like, I've heard that one before.
Some of them, I'm fairly certain, actually used copywritten music.
I'm sure some of them did.
Some of those pieces sounded like they came from the soundtrack of the entity that they were performing.
I would have to listen to some of them again. But yeah, some of them I was like, oh, you came from YouTube Music Library. I know which that one was.
Yeah. So let's take a break on this portion of it. Do we want to get into the judges' costumes now or in the after session?
Let's do that for the after session because we've already, okay. we got quite a hefty episode already.
Oh, yeah. And again, if you would like to go back and watch the videos for the individual team entries, you can watch it over on Twitch, at least as of today, August 19th. Can't promise that they'll stay up forever, but for now, they're up there.
They're there.
It is the entire recording, so it is not just the skits. There are other events and other performances that take place in between them as there are breaks for resetting the stage and giving the judges a break and such.
Right.
So you may have to scroll and fast forward through the Twitch VODs to get to the performances, so just keep that in mind. One of them is like 10 hours long and the other one's like 3 hours long. So there's that. You may also be able to find them on YouTube in the case that Twitch takes them down. But it's highly recommended that you go watch them for yourself to see not only what we're talking about in the show, which is also a good thing, but also as inspiration for you as a cosplayer. Because it's really cool to see other cosplayers doing cool things. And then I sit there and look at that and go, huh, I really like that series enough that I'm going to go look it up because I may want to make a cosplay from it and get introduced to new things and be inspired to work on whatever your next project is or maybe even your current project. Maybe you saw the Love Life presentation with all of the embellishments and you're inspired to suddenly bling up the costume that you're working on. That's fantastic. That's exactly what we want. So go give them a watch. Please go congratulate everybody that participated, not just the winners, every single participant. And also thanks to, you know, the staff, the volunteers, the translators, everybody, the judges who worked so hard to make this a reality, because it's, as we know personally, not easy to pull off a cosplay contest. There's a lot of moving parts, and something as big as WCS is an even greater task. So
it's all the moving parts.
And thank you. Yes, be sure to, you know, go over to all of the participants' Twitter, social media, leave them congratulatory messages, thank them, you know, all of that fun stuff, because at the end of the day, we are all a large cosplay community, and we want to support each other. Winner or not, we're all winners.
And I do also want to recommend that everybody at least go to the WCS YouTube channel, because each country has an introduction video and it includes a lot of like behind the scenes stuff of how they made their costumes and how they made their videos. And it's totally worth jumping in and seeing them, because then you get to see all the little details up close. It's great.
You get to see what goes into a world class, literally world class costume. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's really cool. I love looking at the details on the Nier costumes. That was great.
It is. All right. Well, with that, we will go ahead and call an end to this episode 261 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Of course, if you would like to join in the conversation, let us know which entries that you liked the most from World Cosplay Summit, or which ones gave you the most wow factor, since we discussed that as well. Please feel free to join in the conversation via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
For those who are watching us on video, the information is back underneath Amber this week. Yay! For those who are listening to us, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook or Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, or on YouTube and Twitter at cospodcast.
You can also email us, podcast@cospod.org, where you will get an answer from each one of us along with select Nick Cage memes.
I have a big folder still. The folder did not get deleted in the move. It is still active and valid, so I will make sure you get a meme.
Feel free to let us know whether you think that Nick Cage should be a World Cosplay Summit judge or a World Cosplay Summit cosplayer. Hey, hey. Otherwise, we will see you guys next time in episode 262. Please stay safe, stay healthy out there. Keep working on this cosplay so we can all see your bright, smiling, shining faces at our local cosplay convention ASAP. See you guys next episode. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.